Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
So, question for both of you. When you watch a game like at home, when you watch a Steeler game at home, are you calm and collected? Are you quiet and dignified? Are you a raving lunatic that the neighbors might call the cops on? Where are you on the spectrum of, like, between 0 and 10, 0 being calm and 10 being a maniac? Where are you?
The dollar goes up to 11.
Yeah. I mean, I start at calm. I'm never dignified, never.
Yeah.
I start at calm, but then it doesn't take very long at all, especially last night. The outrageous, like, screaming lunatic.
Yeah, I'm never really calm. Even when we're winning, I'm not calm. And now it's bad because I watch the games outside. If the weather's good, you know, I sit out there, I have a TV, or I'll watch from the pool, depending on the time of day. And so, yeah, I'm sure my neighbors hate me. I have to, they're losing, we're not doing well. I have to dial it back and bring it inside where I can at least muffle the sound.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I get excited and stuff. But last night, this happened a couple of times.
So wait, are you saying you're not normally like the emotional screaming fan?
I'm usually, let's say on a scale of 10, I'm usually an 8 or 9. And last night I was about a 12. Yeah. The start of the game. Now see, here's the thing. I was lucky enough to usually, like, sometimes on Sundays I'm like busy like crazy, but this is pretty much a quiet Sunday. I got to watch football from like 1 o'clock till 7 o'clock, and I was so happy. And I get that NFL red zone, and I watch all the games. It is the most wonderful thing. I was so happy. So, you know, I'm watching football all day and I'm pretty happy. And I'm, you know, it's like, oh, but wait till the Steelers come on. Yeah. They're gonna kick some butt. Yeah. And the way that game started, I was so angry, I had to quit. I had, you know, my wife was sitting there and I did not want to yell at her. I started cooking. I did laundry. I started cleaning. I took the dog out like 3 times. I was so upset at the beginning of the game, the way that Miami just moved down the field at ease. I'm thinking, it's Buffalo all over again. We're dealing with another blowout. Here we go. I was so angry. And eventually I calmed down after the Steelers defense calmed down. But
right.
Wow.
Well, it felt like such a kick in the teeth after last week's like outstanding defensive performance with this like patched together group of nobodies. Do you know what I mean? And then you get into this week and I think, okay, well, they found something good last week, so we'll be able to capitalize on that. And it felt like a real, like a letdown. It felt like, it just always feels like we never make adjustments for who we're playing.
Last night we did. I mean, I was surprised, to be honest with
you. Yeah, after halftime.
Usually if we do make adjustments, it's at halftime.
Yeah.
Right.
They made them very quick and I was very happy with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just like, it was a mess. I mean,
and they just let them do whatever they wanted. And this was supposed to be the advantage because you had Brian Flores, who was the coach last year there, would know them better than anyone. Obviously, they've made changes, but still, he would know them very well. And they just let them do whatever they want. And they scored 13 points in the first quarter. And then basically that was it. They scored three points in the second quarter, which the Steelers handed to them, which was another game management debacle. Go ahead, Allison.
Flores spent like 20 years in New England and it didn't help us at all. So I know being an assistant coach versus being the head coach is different. But I honestly expected nothing at all from the Flores advantage.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't know. They say that all the time. It never seems to pan out. So.
Right. They did just shut them down for the rest of the game. Yeah. And in any normal team, if you give up only 16 points, you're going to win because obviously you have a normal functioning offense that scores more than 16 points. But not us. No, oh no.
We haven't done that since 2018.
Right. For real.
Yeah. Before it's BC, before Canada.
Right. Or even before elbow. That's what I call it anyway.
Before elbow. What, Ben's elbow?
Yeah. I mean, that was the last year we were really good was
yeah, before Ben.
Yeah. Wow, these games, it's almost you almost wish it was a blowout, because games like this stink. They should have won.
That was like broke my heart.
Mine too, because I was thinking this is gonna be, you know, I make graphics for Heavy, and I was thinking in my head, oh, you know, I was gonna make a first comeback, like first comeback win. I was like so excited, I was like, it's gonna happen.
And I'm so frustrated by the people putting all the blame on Pickett. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that he's like so perfect or he doesn't deserve some responsibility, but piss poor coaching keeps putting him in these positions where he has to make decisions that are ripe for rookie mistakes, like that interception he threw last night. I mean, you look at something like that illegal shift penalty, and that's on your coach. That's on your offensive coordinator. That's not on anybody else. That's a coaching issue. And so you can't put that on him, but you can't take the guy from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16 and keep hitting him with penalties and then expect him to be successful. He's going to get anxious. He's going to be put into this spot where he's nervous. And then you're going to be more likely to make mistakes. I mean, to me, that's just not on him.
Yeah. That the first quarter was scary because it seemed like he wasn't himself, even though we haven't seen him on a picket. He seemed like he wasn't himself. And I was like, oh gosh, maybe it's the prime time again. Maybe he got too big, but then he calmed down, which I thought was really great. And he really started. I mean, on that touchdown to Pickens, he was perfect. It was like 8 for 8 the whole drive. He was great, and it was just frustrating to kind of see it, you know, kind of fall apart. But you're right. I mean, it's everybody's blaming him, and it's like, yo, that defense dropped 4 interceptions. Yeah. Levi Wallace was responsible for 2 dropped interceptions and it's like, you know, those are opportunities. People were like, well, you know, who says we would have scored had we picked off the ball? And it's like, come on, like, sure, yeah, but you know what,
but that's the same as the argument of like, you should have just picked up 10 yards instead of trying to throw to the, you know, at the end zone at that last pass. It's that same thing, you know, who knows that would have been available, or that he would have gotten the next 6 on 4th down. I mean, you know what I mean? You can play the what if game forever, but it doesn't do us any good. But we have to start looking at coaching this group better and giving him the tools he needs to be successful, because he does have some maturing to do. I mean, you can see that he doesn't always read things well, or he's not reading everything. And that seems normal. The NFL moves really fast, you know, and the defenses are really good. But by that same token, it's the coach's responsibility to set him up for success. And I don't think that's being done at all.
The divide on Kenny Pickett amongst Steelers fans is crazy right now. Yeah. It is we're talking like Steelers Twitter was a mess.
A shambles. And it's unsettling because so many people were screaming and yelling for him to play and bashing Mitch Trubisky. And I mean, that was the talk for ages. And then now all of a sudden he's in and all they're doing is screaming and yelling about him playing. I don't know. They're never happy. Never happy.
It's either you love him or hate him. There's no in-between.
No in-between.
Either he could do no wrong and he's perfect and a perfect little baby angel, or we should have never drafted him. And the thing I kept hearing is, well, he's the most NFL ready quarterback. That means he's ready. That doesn't mean anything. First of all,
that doesn't mean Super Bowl.
Right. That just means
NFL ready. He looks better than a lot of rookie quarterbacks. He's poised. He's calm. I think he's got real potential. I really do. I mean, I'm not ready to, I'm never one of those fans that's like all one way or another. You know, I tend to be pretty positive, but I'm never one of those people. And so, you know, to me, I support whoever's playing because it's my team. But I think the kid's got real potential. I think we just need to help him develop. Do you know what I mean? To come out this year and I don't know what they expect, to go to a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. I mean, that's just unusual. And If it was another team, not our team, they wouldn't be saying that. They would be saying this is to be expected and this is normal and this is growth. And
what did you want? Would you rather have Mitch Trubisky in there last night? Maybe they win, maybe they won't. But what's that going to prove? You have Kenny Pickett in there now, and you're just going to have to live with the growing pains. And this is just, you're just going to have to watch him develop. This is what this year is about, watching him develop. I thought he looked okay, except for the interceptions, but still, he didn't look like totally lost out there. He didn't look like Sam Darnold on the Jets or some crap like that.
Right.
He looked pretty poised. He looked like the moment was not too big for him. Right. I think that's a very positive thing.
Looked like he'd been there before.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the road. It was prime time. It was his third NFL start. I mean, he looked like he was ready. He totally looked like, and again, it's hard to say. He looked like he was ready. And he threw three interceptions. But you know what? It does. It goes back to the same thing. I mean, we're going to keep hearing the word growing pains for like a trillion years with this guy.
Right.
But it's true. It's like not every quarterback that comes out is Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or whatever.
And I mean, even Patrick Mahomes has had bad games and seasons where he wasn't as good. I mean,
And we keep seeing all these stats about Peyton Manning's interceptions and about, you know, Josh Allen's interceptions in their first seasons and things. And it's like, well, you can't compare him to Josh Allen. No, I'm not. I'm just saying not every quarterback as a rookie is amazing.
He is not going to be Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning threw like 28 interceptions his first year. So it just happens. It happens. That's what you go through. You just go through these growing pains. Yeah. We are split on Kenny Pickett, but nobody is split on Matt Canada. We all want that dude to be launched into the sun.
Mm-hmm. I can't. And I've told you guys, I defended him a bit, you know, and really tried to buy into it because I thought he had some real promise and potential. And I'll be the first one to admit that I was wrong and that he just hasn't produced. And I just feel every week like the stage is too big for him. Like he doesn't have the coaching depth to be able to develop what needs to be developed to coach against these really strong NFL teams. And, you know, that we talked about this before, that happens with some of these college coaches. College in the NFL is not the same. I mean, happens all the time. And so, you know, I don't know how you just cut your losses. You got to cut your losses. I mean, we're not winning. And I'm not trying, I would never be the person that thinks that you should fire somebody just because you're having like a bad moment or a bad season. But now we've had three quarterbacks play under Matt Canada and not one of them has been successful. So you have to look at like what's the common denominator here.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally Matt Canada. I just feel like, I mean, obviously the Steelers have done things slightly different lately, you know, signing Deontay Johnson to, you know, signing a wide receiver, you know, extending a wide receiver, you know, doing things that they normally maybe wouldn't do. But I just, Canada still has another year left after this year.
And
they just are fine.
That dude is not making it after this year.
That's the thing, though. We said the same thing about Randy Feener. He stayed.
And then he was back.
People kept saying he was fired. He wasn't fired. There's a bunch of different outlets that kept saying he was fired. His contract literally was done.
And they just didn't renew it.
Yeah. It's not like he had time on his contract and they fired him. They did. You know what I mean? So he was around for the extent of his contract and he was horrible too. I mean, we thought he was bad. And you know, turns out we had it pretty good. You know, ready.
I said to them, like, y'all better watch what you wish for because, you know, the grass is, I mean, have they ever liked an offensive coordinator we had? I looked back at the list last night to try to see when the last time we had an offensive coordinator that people liked and literally couldn't find one.
I'm sure
people did like Arians and times when people liked Haley.
But there was always a group that didn't.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If they liked Haley, then they turned on him real quick because that was the other thing is that Haley has to go. I don't think anybody ever said anything bad about Arians, but you know, looking back, they kind of should have because Arians almost got been killed. So the offensive coordinator is always the least popular person, but
always
in this case, there's, it's just somebody said it perfectly. There is a disconnect. There is not, you know, like you look on some teams and the offensive coordinator and quarterback are almost like in a marriage and they work off well off each other. And I think that's how Ben and Arians were and how it's kind of like, well, I want to say Ben and Randy Fichter, because I mean, Randy Fichter was just basically Ben's like water boy or whatever, but still.
Right.
But that is definitely not the case with any. Definitely Matt Canada and Ben Roethlisberger did not have any. I mean, that was like oil and water. But but the way he was, the way he is with Mitch Trubisky and the way he is with Kenny Pickett, there is a complete disconnect. And here's something that I keep hearing so many times that it has to be true, that people keep saying that quarterbacks are not allowed to make audibles. And that drives me insane. Could you imagine the play is, let's say, a run to Najee on the left or something like that? Or yeah, hand off to Najee on the left. And you see that the defense knows it's coming and you know it's going to fail, but you can't, there's nothing you could do about it because you're not allowed to audible.
True, that's garbage. I mean, that's just garbage. You have to put some trust in your quarterback. He's supposed to be leading the offense and you have to put some trust in them, rookie or otherwise.
He called one or two. It looked like he called like one or two audibles last night.
Yeah, I thought so.
It looked like it. Yeah, I don't know.
But
like maybe they're limited.
Or maybe they give him, you know, an option or something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If this looks like it's breaking down, do this. Do you know what I mean? Which is not really him calling an audible. But I mean, we don't know. We'll never really know.
It's just, it's just not working. And if I see another end sweep, I might not make it. I don't know. I was
baking all day yesterday, watching football like you did, and baking all day. And like in the background, I could hear the, you know, he listened to the games and I heard the commentator saying, there's an effective use of the jet sweep. And I was like, and that's how I knew it wasn't a Steelers game.
Exactly. The Steelers had 20 first down plays, 13 of them were runs.
Yeah.
There were no deep shots. George Pickens, every time the ball was thrown near him, he caught it. And for like a good big chunk of the game, didn't even throw to him at all.
Yeah, he's just completely absent. Like he's completely absent. And you heard Johnson after the game said that, you know, they just have to get more deep balls. I got it, you know. And he tried to say this isn't play calling, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think, I mean, I do think some of it is Pickett reading the field, but I also think some of it is play calling, and whether that's not being able to call audibles or whatever it is. I mean, it still results in the same thing, you know, where I'm just not taking those shots.
My guess is that it's just too damn complicated because Ben didn't take any shots either. Trubisky didn't take any shots, and now Kenny Pickett's not taking any shots. Like it's not.
Do you think Canada's offense is too complicated for the quarterbacks, or do you think that the NFL?
I think it's just too complicated all around. Something's going on because nothing. It's just not working.
I wrote an article the other day about how an insider at the outlet that I worked for had said that, you know, Matt Canada's in over his head. Like basically
the meetings
that the staff has. I mean, we already knew that, you know what I mean? But basically the meetings that the offensive staff has should only take a certain amount of time, but it's taking like two or three times longer than it should for your average staff of offensive personnel. Because it seems like it must be too complicated. It must be a complication thing.
Or it's confusing. Just, do you know what I mean? Just confusing and disjointed. Yeah.
You just don't get it.
He was never a pro coordinator. He was never a coordinator in the NFL. This was just a mistake. And
it really makes me wonder what they saw in him when he was an assistant. Do you know what I mean? Before they promoted him.
Here's what they saw. Here's what they saw. And this actually ticks me off even more. He was the offensive coordinator of Pitt. And he was the offensive coordinator at Pitt when James Conner was at Pitt. James Conner was like borderline Heisman quality. I mean, I think he scored like 50 touchdowns or something like that. So
yeah, it was good.
But that really annoys me because it's like Okay, so the Steelers and the and Pitt share the same facility. So did they just, are they that lazy that they say, oh, we need an offense coordinator? Oh, hey, I know that guy over there. Like, is that really what the search was? Like, let's just, you know, hey, this dude's in the same building. He looks good. Let's, you know, he doesn't mess up my parking spot or microwave fish or anything like that. So he's a cool dude. Let's hire him. Like,
what's,
I don't know.
About Canada's resume is that you look at it and he's never had he's never had longevity anywhere.
Right. No. No.
Career's been even at Pitt, he was there for like 1 year.
Right. Right. Right.
1 year. It's and like then, all these 1 year stints, and you wonder what's wrong there.
Right. He became the offensive coordinator at LSU, and it was a complete disaster. Kind of like it is here in with the Steelers.
But he was at the Steelers as their quarterbacks coach before he got promoted to offensive coordinator. So what the hell did they see? Do you know what I mean? Was this just a lazy, like, we're going to promote from inside?
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
plenty of good guys out
there. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, he's in the building.
He'd love to do that.
Right. Well, Peter was on his last contract. Right. You know what I mean? They probably wanted Matt Canada to come, you know, to be promoted into his spot when Figner left.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. So, yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head that, yeah, they wanted to line him up to be the successor and offensive coordinator.
Right. But at some point, somebody's got to say, well, you know, we hoped he would make it, you know, to this spot, but he didn't. I mean, we hoped when we took on Mason Rudolph, he was going to replace Ben someday, right. And that clearly didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? But so it's, to me, it's the same kind of thing. You just have to say, like, we tried this and it's just not a good fit. You know, he's not ready for this, or this isn't his jam or whatever.
It's just not, you know, the thing we heard all last year is like, well, it's not really his offense because Ben's so old and slow, blah, blah, blah.
Everybody blamed Ben. Yeah. Everybody.
Right. Right. Yeah. And now look at it. So,
right. Yeah.
But I mean, like he's not getting fired. He's just not, you know.
No.
So, you know, at least not in season. He'll probably be gone.
My
after
hope was that they quietly elevated somebody else up to kind of support him. Do you know what I mean? I don't know who that person is, but we've talked
Mike
about
Sullivan.
This.
Mike Sullivan. Yeah. Mike Sullivan is the quarterback's coach. And he has actually
been an offensive coordinator.
He has been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Yeah. So it's right there. But
I mean, that's what I was hoping, is that we brought somebody in, and maybe, who knows, maybe that's what some of this subtle change we've seen the past 2 weeks is, you know, the little bit of change we've seen has been attributed to somebody else helping. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And you would think that, like, obviously Mike Tomlin, we know, doesn't like to admit mistakes.
Right.
But you would think that he would gain more respect if he actually stepped up and was like, hey, you know what? This isn't working. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
although I have to say that when you do that, do you know what I mean? You open yourself up to then having to answer for what's going to happen next. And if you don't have those answers, you know what I mean? You're not going to put the team in that position where then they say, well, you've clearly said he doesn't work. So mm-hmm. Why isn't he fired? Why haven't you brought somebody else in? How are you dealing with this contract? You know what I mean? And he's always going to try to handle things internally.
It's just such an embarrassment, and there's no way he's going to say, "Man, this didn't work." Okay, hey guys, sorry, I'm getting rid of him. But what they could do, because there was actually an offensive coordinator like in the '90s, I think his name is Ray Sherman, and he was an absolute disaster. And what they did was they just quietly demoted him. And I don't know how they called plays that season, but they didn't announce anything. They just
quietly. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. Now, you know, after the Eagles loss, then there's a bye. Maybe then they'll make some changes then.
Yeah.
That would be their only time. If they're going to do it in season, they're going to do it after Philly.
But the bye. Yeah. I just don't see him doing it in season. Like I said, maybe some kind of quiet change, maybe somebody coming up to support, or maybe, like you said, the quiet demotion. But I don't see them, you know, actually firing him in season. It's just so unlike us. But I also didn't think that they would bench Mitch Trubisky, and they did. So
right. Yeah,
but I mean, Tomlin's taken a lot of heat for this, and I know he's got thick skin. Do you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, the buck does stop with him, and you know, his responsibility to answer for it. And if it's, you know, it's easy to keep saying every week, well, everything's just not coming together. Do you know what I mean? And got to keep working. It's easy to say that.
It's,
but there's no results.
It's Monday night now. The Tuesday press conference is going to happen with Tomlin, and nothing really happens in those press conferences, but still it's going to get asked. Somebody is to ask, hey, what the heck is up? Cause they're asking the players and the, and then I think on Wednesday or Thursday, they talk to the coordinators, and then, you know, Matt Canada, usually he's just such a jerk. He doesn't say anything, but I would just like to say, like, why do you suck? And why do you think you should have a job? I think that should be the question. My question would be, how dare you?
Right.
Who do you think? Who do you?
Telling our team are? Like this.
Who do you think you are? That's my question. Joey Bag of Donuts, Donut Bag Podcast. Hi. Who the hell do you think you are? And as a follow up, WTF?
Right.
Open the door, please.
That's the thing.
That would be fantastic.
That's what they always
excellent.
They always rip on the reporters for not asking Tomlin the real questions, the hard-hitting questions. Because if you did, first of all, they wouldn't invite you back. And second of all, Tomlin's not going to answer it. Tomlin's going to
say he never answers them.
He says, "I'm going to take that red paint that I painted the barn with. I'm going to smash that pink in over your head, dummy." I mean, there's no. He's not going to answer those questions.
No, and I actually really admire him for that, because I, you know, when you hear coaches when they give answers with that kind of substance, all it does is give the reporters things to pick apart, and like, oh, he said he doesn't like him, and these two coaches don't get along, and he said he's, you know, beneath the team, and they put like all these words into people's mouths. They do it all the time to the players, all the time to the players. And so I appreciate that Tomlin really limits the opportunities to do that with the Steelers, but
when they asked the coach of Washington a couple weeks ago, it's like, why is the team losing the quarterback?
Right.
Dude.
Sold him right out.
Appreciate your honesty, but dang, dude. Yeah.
But then where do you go from there? How do you ever rebuild? Do you know what I mean? It's never just the quarterback. Washington's like a cancerous growth.
Right.
Yeah. On the NFL.
Oh, it is. I mean, they were yelling at they were screaming at the owner, sell the team. That they were chanting, sell the team during the game yesterday.
There were signs. I guess fans were holding up signs.
Yep.
And the staff had to come around, whatever, the ushers had to come around and tell them
to come down. Yeah.
That's an insane situation. The owners are like, what? Even the owner of the Colts is like, maybe can we get rid of him?
Jim Irsay too. Like, I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him. And he's like, they were like, he should be careful because he's done all this bad stuff. I'm like, he's in recovery. He's admitted all of his BS in public and then some. He's got nothing to hide. I give him all the credit for speaking out like that. When I lived in Washington 6 years ago, the fans hated him then, and it's only grown like exponentially since then with all the things that have come out. I mean, I have so many friends who won't support the team anymore, you know, and they're not the kind of people that were like, you know, I'm not going to support it because of the, you know, standing for the flag. I mean, all that, you know what I mean? All that stuff. No, but when it came to this, they were like, the stuff that's gone on, like with women and racism, like within the organization, like how do you stay a fan and give that guy your money? You know,
the Washington football team has become the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's basically the same thing, horrible owner. But the thing is, and the sad thing is, Washington in the 70s, 80s, and 90s was basically what the Steelers are now in terms of popularity, in terms of how it is embraced by the people of the city and stuff like that. And now I keep just hearing it's like people are ashamed to be associated with the football team.
Won't have anything to do with it anymore. They've all either just not watching football or they're supporting other teams. I keep reminding them that we don't support Ravens, but they're welcome to come to Steeler country if they want, just because Baltimore's close. You can't go that dark route.
One surprising thing is the offensive line last night was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming? Holy cow.
Yeah.
But if only the defense just caught some of those interceptions. Yes, it was nice that they shut down. Giving up 16 points is impressive. Yeah. That's a pretty good Dolphins offense. But no sacks.
We'd have won that game if one of those mistakes had gone our way. Do you know what I mean? Either not the penalties, one of those interceptions. Do you know what I mean? I think it exponentially would have increased our chances of winning that game had we done one of those things right. You know, their defense not going to catch every interception that comes their way. That's why they're not receivers.
Exactly. But still, it's right in your hands. Come on. It's
right in your hands. Catch the ball.
Yeah, and it was raining and whatever, you know what I mean? But still, it's like, gosh.
Yeah.
So.
And I do think there was some really good things that came out of last night. Like, I thought Pickett, I know the interceptions, but I thought other than that, I thought he looked good. He was accurate with the ball when he was in like an appropriate passing situation. I thought Najee looked better last night. I was really impressed with Jaylen Warren throwing that big block. I thought that was awesome. And I was glad to see, because, you know, we always need those extra blockers. So that was huge. There was some positives,
but there was also a negative line. There was also about negative about Najee. There was a crucial third and one.
Yeah.
Like, I think in the fourth quarter,
when he ran
backwards. They gave it to Najee, and he just did nothing. Like, come on, that's why we got you, dude.
Right. They should have put Warren in there. I think that was a big mistake.
And, you know, you look at running backs like that Walker in Seattle and the Breece Hall with the Jets. Those weren't first round running backs, and they were awesome. I don't know. That's another thing. It's like, I keep hearing people complain about Najee, and I hope it works out. And he did have some good. He did look okay at times, but.
And they talked last night about him wearing that metal plate in his shoe. That was the first time I'd heard that. I mean, we knew he was dealing with the injury and it lingering, but that obviously explains like some of the early season issues he was having. Do you know what I mean? With planting his foot and being able to run north south. I mean, that explains some of that, or contributes to some of that.
My problem is with him, for some reason, he decided to bulk up in the off season and get bigger. Like, okay, you want to get bigger, you get more powerful, but you also like lose some of your quickness. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
did most of take that weight back off. I thought he did.
I don't know. No. I mean, he doesn't look fat, but still, I don't know. It's like, I just remember like Le'Veon Bell, his first year, he played a certain way, and then he lost a bunch of weight to get quicker. Maybe you should go that route to be quicker instead of.
But then, so where do you put that blame? Like strength and conditioning? Like, what are we?
Well, that's just
what are they doing?
I don't know. I don't know if the coaches told them to bulk up or he decided to do it. I don't know, but. So if this season is hopeless, then we should kind of hope for losses, right?
Well, Leanne will never do that, right? It's against her religion.
It is. It really is. It's so hard. I talked about this last night about, you know, like maybe the ideal, like, somebody ideal in the draft that we could pick up. Do you know what I mean? If we were somewhere between like 3 and 6 or something like that.
They're getting Joey Porter's kid. Okay. I could guarantee that they are getting Joey Porter's kid, which I believe he's a cornerback from Penn State or something like that.
Penn State.
Hey, we need a cornerback. So fine. But it's like, it's already.
I was already plotting like, how do we get Will Anderson and how great would he be lined up with TJ and like how incredible our defense would be. But we really need to look at some of those areas that we really need to shore up, you know, the offensive line and you know, the D line, just look at some of those positions and we have some needs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree.
Not a quarterback, which is what some fans are saying.
I just don't understand. Like, how do you not watch football and see that every other rookie, any rookie, struggles?
I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you know, Jacksonville was acting like they were going to the Super Bowl when they drafted him, and they haven't done anything.
Trevor Lawrence is basically the most highly touted quarterback prospect, basically since Peyton Manning, and you know, his first year was a disaster. Well, that's because he had an idiot coach. But this year, he's still struggling. He's still making those rookie mistakes.
I wouldn't call him a bust. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I think that he's a bust by any means. I think the kid has real talent, but he doesn't have the supporting cast in coaches and in players that, you know, he need to be successful. And I think that's a little bit of what we're dealing with. Do you know what I mean? We've got some really strong, good offensive players. Do you know what I mean? But we're not putting them together properly. And the O-line looks better, but they're nowhere near like Super Bowl level O-line.
I mean, he was all, I don't know if he's in the second or third year, but he was awful when he first came in. And he used to be. And it's because it's not necessarily just because of him, but it's because of everybody around him. Obviously, he still has to be a good quarterback, but, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, it's a team sport, even if you're a quarterback or whatever.
I'm tired of looking at the schedule, because every time I look at the schedule, it's like, ooh, that could be a win. And then, you know, all hell breaks loose. But when TJ Watt does come back, this is going to be a completely different team, because that defense ain't diddly squat without TJ Watt. I made that up. Thank you. Yes.
And it rhymes.
It rhymes. Yeah, I can't do squat without. I mean, that's true though. When TJ Watt comes back, they're gonna be. The sacks will go up. The defensive backs will actually catch the ball. How many turnovers did they have? You know,
I'm not that correlated. I don't know how that works, but yeah.
So all we need is the defense is going to be better. All we need is the offense to be a little bit better, and that probably will. It probably will. So. I think there's hope.
I think we're going to see an improvement as the season goes on, like post bye. Do you know what I mean? We're going to struggle this week with the Eagles, but I think after the bye, we're going to start to see some improvement, just enough so that we have a crappy draft position for next year.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think it's true. I mean, you look at Watt when he plays, it's not just how good Watt is and how he makes others better, but it's how much energy the other team has to put on dealing with TJ Watt when he's on the field. And it
you've got to double and triple team him.
Yeah, so it frees up Highsmith and Hayward and Miles Jack and whoever else.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Even Devin Bush played all right. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, you know. He's playing for a contract. He's not playing for the Steelers, really.
I don't care. I don't care. It's better than playing badly for a contract.
Right. It's better than what he did last year.
Yeah. The worst case scenario is they go on some great winning streak and finish 9-8, barely make the playoffs, lose in the first round to the Chiefs like 47-0, and end up with like the 22nd draft pick. It's like
every year for the past five years.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, it's gonna be. I'm already nervous about the Eagles game, because, you know, it's the Battle of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God, that's a guaranteed loss.
The Steelers haven't won in Philadelphia since 1960.
Just fool around and win that stupid game, though, because we always will do something like that, win some game we should never win and lose to somebody awful, but I don't think so.
You know what I mean? It's like, and they're coming off the bye week. I mean, it's a cluster, and it's going to be awful.
I mean, nobody picked them to beat the Tampa, and they did. I could totally see a scenario where the Steelers beat the Eagles, and we're just like,
what the hell is going on?
Just to basically bankrupt the nation, because everybody is going to put their money on the Eagles, and then the Steelers are going to cover, or they're going to win, and
there's a part of me that's like, the Eagles can't win forever. You get too cocky. You get too big for your britches. Do you know what I mean? You're overly confident. It's kind of, you know, I've said that before. It's kind of what I thought about Tampa, that, you know, I think Tom Brady effectively like blew off playing the Steelers. He's like, they're not any good. You know what I mean? I don't need to worry about team meetings and I'm Brady. I own the Steelers, that kind of garbage. And then you come in and you struggle, you know, you're just too cocky.
Yeah, and the fact that they lost yesterday, it's like, man, like that makes our. I mean, everybody's saying, but it makes our loss, like, diminishes our. Yeah. Our but.
So So have you recorded House of Yinzer yet, or is that coming up later this week?
Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Then we'll all be, everything will all be calm and quiet then. There'll be no other developments. Oh, boy.
Right.
And by that time, by Wednesday, all of the generals and the Steeler fan civil war will have set up their encampments. And
oh, my goodness.
Oh yeah,
guys, yeah. We're all it's Steeler Nation. Let's unite as a Steeler Nation.
We should.
I don't know if I've ever really seen them united. Like as long as I've been on Twitter, I don't know that I've ever really seen them united. There's always a group that has to complain about something.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, let's all unite in our hate for Matt Canada.
Let's put our focus into that. Send vibes to the universe to have either Matt Canada get a playbook or get him out of here.
Right.
Launch him into space.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck with House of Yinzer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what the developments will be in the next 2 days, but all right.
It could be something big.
It could be. Maybe they'll fire him. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Hey guys, thanks a lot.
Yep. Thanks. Oh. See you soon.
See you.